Good morning, Calvary Chapel. It is so good to be with you. Happy Mother's Day to all of you moms out there that are watching this message. We're so thankful that you've taken your morning to spend it with us at church and to open God's Word together and to worship Him with us. There's no better way to start your day, and we're praying for the Lord's blessings upon you and your family and your children, your children's children, and so on and so forth. This morning, I want to take a break from Hebrews chapter 11 to do a topical message to honor you moms. But if you're not a mom, I ask that you wouldn't check out because it's God's Word, and it will speak to you no matter who you are, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through in life. And I want to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14 this morning, and I want to handle those opening verses that Jesus speaks here in John chapter 14. We'll handle verses 1 through 3. I'm calling my message this morning, if you want to write down a title and take notes, I'm calling my message Mother's Day, Thinking About the Father's House. And I guess I just sort of wanted to sneak something in about dads there because yesterday was my birthday and I feel like I got robbed a little bit. As soon as my happy birthday sign went up, it went down, and happy Mother's Day, my kids were replacing it with hanging on our kitchen wall this morning. And so I had to sneak something in about dads, fathers in there, and sort of steal something back from you moms on this Mother's Day. Just sort of kidding with you here. In all sincerity, I just thought that this is such a unique Mother's Day. This is such a bizarre and strange. We wish that you were here, that you were coming in and we were handing you a flower like we always do. We wish that we were offering you like a coupon to our cafe here to have a free coffee or a donut bagel on us. We long to be with you. And, you know, I was driving into church this morning, and I was getting in my truck, getting ready to leave the driveway, and I looked across the street at my neighbor's house. And my neighbor, her dad has cancer. He lives around the corner. So they've social distanced since March. They haven't been able to embrace. And my neighbor and her husband just had a baby a few months ago. And I just think of the heartache and the torment. They have not allowed her dad and her mom to come in contact just to protect their father-in-law from what could be sickness. And so I'm getting in the truck and I'm putting my bag down and sort of getting situated, and I look across the street and I see my neighbor there holding her baby on one side of the storm door, and then the father and the grandfather, of course, on the other side, just sort of waving and trying to talk and communicate with his daughter and granddaughter. And my heart became heavy. My heart became overwhelmed because I'm thinking, man, this is not right. This is not okay. This is so strange. You know, this poor man has cancer, battle in and of itself. And I'm sure that all he would long for, all that he would really want is that opportunity to hug his daughter, hug his granddaughter, and find some strength and comfort and peace. And here they're separated. There's this distancing. So all week long, I've been praying, God, what can I bless the moms with? Moms are worthy to be blessed. And I came across something interesting. This isn't why I chose John 14. I feel like the Holy Spirit ministered it to me in my own private reading, but I came across something that was written about James Barry. He's the man who wrote Peter Pan. Apparently, his mother, Margaret, she really had a lot of heartache in her life. Went through a lot of sorrow, a lot of difficulties, different difficulties. One of those things, burying one of her own sons. I think that's probably the worst tragedy for a parent, to have to bury one of their children. And she had to bury one of her sons, and she became really dependent on God's word, apparently. And her favorite portion of scriptures were John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. And I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I've gone to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself so that where I am, there you might be also." Those are the words of Jesus to the church. And those words became so precious to her, they say, that by the end of her life, if you were to go and grab her Bible and just sort of open it, it would open right to John chapter 14. And apparently when she became so sickly and ill, where she wasn't able to use her faculties anymore and open her Bible and read it and process what it was that the scriptures were saying, she would, as the story goes, she would bend over or have the Bible put in front of her and she would kiss John chapter 14. because it was so precious to her. And I pray that it becomes, if not already, precious to you. I pray this morning, my prayer is that if it already is precious to you, that it would become even more precious. Jesus ministered to me three things about you moms. These are not exhaustive things about you. These are not like the complete description of a mother's ministry, but I think that they're a good summation to be brief. And they are this: you moms have been incredible in ministering to your children in three specific ways. I want to use these words: emotion, preparation, and transportation. Emotion, preparation, and transportation. And I want Jesus to minister to you today, but not just you moms, all of you ladies and all of you gentlemen, that he is ministering and going to minister to us in this very same fashion that our moms have or should have been ministering all of our lives. Look what Jesus says here. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." That's the emotional aspect. He ministers to us emotionally on this bizarre Mother's Day. This Mother's Day, May 10th, 2020, in the midst of this pandemic, he speaks this word over all of us. Let not your heart be troubled. It's in the middle voice, and he's saying, listen, I'm asking you to stop allowing your heart, the word troubled is to be agitated. Stop letting your heart be agitated. Please, is what he's saying here, set your heart at ease. I thought about this, and I'm thinking that's what moms do, godly moms, good moms, ought to do for their children in their raising of them. Set their children's heart at ease. Know that there's something wrong with their child. They can sense it. They can see it. I think more times than not, not always, even more so and better than the father can with the children. There's that emotional, gentle, soft touch of a mom that ministers to her children when they're young and they get a bump or a bruise, or as they get older and they get a broken heart. God help those boys that might break my daughter's hearts. Georgia, you'll come with me, won't you? Amen. And all throughout life, even now as an adult, I think of my mom and her presence, what it's been and what it is to me and my sister and to my two younger brothers, even as adults, all of us being married, three out of the four of us having our own children. I think of the settledness that her presence brings to us. I think of the comfort, the ease that she brings to our hearts when she's here, when she's around us, when she's with us. I think of when there's something wrong with my own children. My first thought is not to call the doctor. It's to call my mom. Mom, what would you do? What should I do? How do we do this? When do we do this? Whatever it would be. I think of how a mom ministers to her children. And on this Mother's Day, Jesus wants to minister to you moms, but dads too, and everybody. Nobody should be saying, well, this isn't a word for me. It's a topical on Mother's Day. No, listen, it's a Mother's Day thinking about the Father's house. It will do us all really good. We should all receive these words of the Lord. Jesus says this: stop letting your heart be agitated. Your is plural, heart is singular. It's a word that he speaks to everybody, but yet in him speaking to everybody, congregationally, if you would, he's speaking to us individually, and he's talking to us of our hearts. Listen, we live in a very agitating world. But he wants us, in the midst of living in this very agitated world, not to be agitated. And the only way for that to happen is for us to trust in Jesus. Let not your hearts be troubled. There's a lot of troublesome things. There's a lot of uncertain things. There's a lot of bizarre and crazy things. Listen, there's a lot of strangeness right now in our world. But even still, Jesus says, there is a peace for you to have. He wants to minister to you emotionally the way that you've been so faithful to minister emotionally to your children and your children's children. And he wants there to be a rest today. He wants there to be an ease. And for so many of you, Mother's Day is not that. We wish that it were. For so many of people, Mother's Day is not that. Even those who are not ladies, even you guys, maybe your mom, this is your first Mother's Day without your mom. Maybe your mom has passed off the scene and she's no longer here with you in this world. From talking to both of my parents, because both of them are still here, thank God. But from talking to both of them, they both still express how much they miss their parents. Both of their parents have passed on, and both of their parents, both sets of their parents, are in glory. They're going to see them again. But nonetheless, both of them have expressed to me a lot of times throughout the years since they've departed how much they miss their presence, how much they long for their presence. So apparently that feeling of remorse and pain and heartache never really goes away. And maybe for you today on this Mother's Day, this is in the midst of a pandemic, which is already bad in of itself. Your mom's not here. Or maybe you're viewing this message, or you're going to view this message, and you're not a mom. And that's crushing you. That is something that we are mindful of every year when we come to this holiday. And that's something my staff and my leadership team and I pray for every single year. In fact, throughout the year, because the barren womb, the scriptures talk about it, is a painful thing. And your heart is troubled. And you had a great mom, and you've been waiting to emulate what you've received from her to your future children, and you're desperate to be an emotional support to seed of your own, and God hasn't given you yet that. And Jesus speaks a word over you. It's not just some broad word for the thousands that are streaming this. It's a specific word to your heart. Jesus wants to speak to your heart, singular, your specific heart. And he's saying this, please let your heart be at ease. Stop letting it be agitated. The word agitated is like the ocean waves that keep crashing when they're real obnoxious. To bring it down to a smaller illustration, for those of you who do your own wash, you know that there's an agitating cycle that you can put it through where it shakes your clothes. That's what cleans your clothes. And there is a refiner's fire that the Lord puts us through. There is a cleansing process that he works in our hearts. But this is not one of those when it comes to his glory. He says this, listen, I don't want your hearts to be agitated in this situation. You've believed in God. The tenses are this. Now continually believe in me. The cure for a troubled heart, write this down. The cure for a troubled heart is trust in Jesus. Maybe you're barren. Maybe your mom is gone. Maybe you've been abandoned. Maybe your mother's walked out on you. So you've got this terrible picture of mother. You're thinking, Pastor, you got no clue. Your mom's at church supporting you now. My mother walked out on me. My mother walked out on my father. Maybe you're estranged from your mother. So the word mother is ill to you. You don't even want to hear about it, man. Maybe that's the case for you this morning. And Jesus says, okay, I can understand that, and it breaks my heart too. But that doesn't minimize who I am and what I've done. Think of the Father's house. Not your inheritance, that's a synonym for the Father's house. Not paradise, another synonym for the Father's house. Not a different far-off country or a city or all those other synonyms for the Father's house, but think of the Father's house. It's yours if you have Jesus, and Jesus has you. This is your destination, the Father's house. This is the Father chapter of all chapters in the Bible. 23 times John employs the word Father for God in this chapter. Over 15 times in chapter 14, 15, and 16. 122 times John uses the word Father in his gospel. And another 20 times in 1 John, and in 2 John, and 3 John, and Revelation. More than any other books combined in the Bible. This is the Father's house. And he says to you this morning, and he says to me this morning, in a way that only he can by his Spirit, let not your heart. It's not a lump sum feeling of everybody put together. He doesn't do that. A lot of men do that. We want to generalize. Oh, you know, this is the situation for everybody. We want to handle it and get over it quickly. Jesus stoops down to your level. He looks you in your eye and he says to you, moms, you ladies that are younger or older or wherever you find yourself, life has so many twists and turns. It could cause so many of emotions. To you husbands that your wife maybe have left you. You kids, you've been abandoned. There's so many scenarios. I think of my mother-in-law who's going to go to her daughter's grave with her other daughters, my wife being one of them, in just a couple of hours, and that's where she's going to spend her Mother's Day afternoon at her daughter's gravesite. For anybody else to say, let not your heart be troubled to somebody like that, that's presumptuous. But the resurrection and the life, oh, that's not an event or a title, it's a person. It's Jesus. The resurrection and the life, he stoops to you, moms, that have gone through such heartache. He wipes your tear from your eyes, and he doesn't say condemningly, like a fire and brimstone preacher, let not your heart be troubled. Enough of that. He says, please. Let your heart take ease. To you barren ladies out there, to those of you who have miscarried or had stillborns and your heart aches, please. Gentle like a mother should be with her children. A settling voice. My mom's voice through the years has been settling. It's settling. Jesus has that motherly like tone, if you would, with us today. And he says, please, let your heart take ease. Heaven, the Father's house, awaits you. Keep trusting in me. Keep trusting in me. Continue to trust in me. The cure for a troubled heart is trust in Jesus. Keep trusting in me. Keep trust. I know it's an agitating world. I know it's an agitating situation. I know it's painful. I know it's uncomfortable. But keep trusting in me. He meets us emotionally. But then he says this to us. Listen, ladies, and this will be wonderful for you that are a present mom right now. You're used to making all the preparations for everything. It's Mother's Day, and your kids, and not just your kids, but your kids' kids are coming over. It's almost unfair. It's just sort of what falls on so many of you moms, this preparation. You've been preparing all your life. Remember when you and your husband were having your first kid, the preparation? Remember the preparations that go on when you're preparing the nursery and you're preparing the crib and you're preparing the bassinet? And I don't even know what they have nowadays. These things look like little UFOs in kids' bedrooms that float all through the sky, and cameras and, you know, all these things were gadgets for your children and whatever it would be. But you remember the preparation? Remember the preparation of getting ready to bring your child into the world? And as a host, you've prepared. You've had guests over and company over and your children's birthdays over at your house. We had our daughter's birthdays at my parents' house, grandbaby's birthdays at your house. I mean, there's so much preparation that summarizes so much of your motherly ministry. Preparation, preparing your child's outfits for school pictures, preparing them for their sport or something that was big hype that they had to get excited about and amped up about it, and you were their biggest cheerleader. You've been preparing, because you want to know why? Love always prepares a welcome. Love always prepares a welcome. Maybe it was the welcome home meal from school, not even like a trip, but just school or a practice or whatever it would be. That's what love does. Love prepares. And Jesus says to you and I this morning, listen, I'm making all the preparations this Mother's Day. This Mother's Day, think about the Father's house. Whoever you are, whatever you've got going on, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, continue to believe in me. In my Father's house, oh, my Father's house, there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would not have told you. And I've gone to prepare. What does it mean? I've gone to make ready. But it just doesn't mean make ready like I'll make the meat, you bring the salad. It's not just like I'll make ready, like I'll get the most of the meal, but you bring dessert or you stop at Marticello's and bring a loaf of Italian bread. It's not that. It's not you bring the drinks, I got the most of it. It's I'm going to make fully ready myself this place for you. I got all the details under control. And I'm doing it all with love. You ever been to someone's house and you can tell they don't really want you there? That's most people's houses I go to now that I have four kids. It's like as soon as dinner's over, dessert's on the table. I mean, they want you gone. It's like, let's go. Keep this moving if they even ask you. We haven't been invited to someone's house in like 8 years, barely, besides family and holidays. And I understand. I don't want to come to your house anyways. Because one of my kids will get killed if I end up coming to someone's house. They'll do something that they shouldn't do. But you could tell when somebody doesn't really want you there or they're not really enjoying you. I, in my heart, as a host, I want to be real loose and free. I want to be like that. I want the gift of hospitality. I think it's a wonderful gift. I want to be like, no problem. You just spilled your drink all over my couch. I don't care. It's just material things. It's all going to burn. But in all reality, I'm getting agita. I'm biting my fingers. I don't have that loose, free spirit in that regard the way I wish. And then when the people are there and I settle, I do. Or when they leave, I think I should have been looser or lighter. But then have you ever been to someone's house where they have the gift of hospitality? And they mean it when they tell you, I don't want you to bring anything. I just want you to come and I want you to be the guest of honor. I've prepared for you. You ever have somebody prepare for you? Some of you are on the other side of the lens right now saying, No, I never have. Well, I have. I've had the privilege and the benefit of having people prepare for me. It is the most humbling, overwhelming, loving feeling because love prepares a welcome. You go into somebody's house and they're genuinely excited to see you. They everything they've made, they had your mind, your face in their mind when they were making it. Oh, I can't wait for them to taste this, and I can't wait for them to try that. And oh, they're going to love this. It's going to bless them so much. And then I got this dessert over here, and we'll have dinner here, and then we're done. We'll move into this room and have dessert and coffee, and we'll just relax and play board games. And it'll be wonderful. It's going to be so great. I can't wait. I've been thinking about them and the noises that they're going to make when they're oh my gosh, you know. And they're going to have to unbutton their pants. They're so full. And me and my dad, we put a pillow over our stomachs when we sit on the couch. When we've eaten too much, it's like a girdle, you know, you just sort of are able to just relax in that type of way. Listen, that's the grammar. Jesus says this morning, like a mother that prepares for her children all the events and seasons of life. Jesus says this, listen, please, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believed in God, believe also, keep believing in me. The cure for a troubled heart is trusting in Jesus. Love has gone to prepare a welcome. He says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. If it weren't so, I would have never told you that. I don't lie. And if I've gone to prepare a place for you, listen, I'm going to come again, and I'm going to receive you unto myself so that where I am, there you could be also. I'm going to make ready completely. All the details are covered. All you got to do is believe and trust in me, and one day you're going to receive what I've been spending the last couple thousand years getting ready for you. Oh, I built your mansion just the way you like it, Dave. I built your house just the way that you like it, Mom, whoever you are. I know what you like. Some of you like ranches. Some of you like high ceilings. Some of you like big windows. Some of you like rounded corners. He's the great carpenter. He's a mason. He's a builder. He's been at it for years, and he's tailoring it to exactly the way that you're going to like it. He can't wait to see your face, see his preparation. He's the ultimate host. He's amazing. This Mother's Day, let's think about our Father's house. I think all of our hearts are a little troubled. Mom or dad, single, married, ready to mingle, whoever you are. I think all of us are feeling, what's going to happen on May 15th? Are we going to be qualified to be a part of the phase one of reopening? Are we going to be able to have church again? Pastor, when is there going to be church again? I've gotten several texts this week. You know, is it going to be that we're really a part of phase four? That puts us to the fall. Does that mean we got months without congregating? What's going on? When is my job going to reopen? When am I going to make money? When am I going to get the unemployment? It still hasn't gone through. There's so much agitation right now. And Jesus just says, settle down. keep trusting in me. I'm preparing, I've been preparing, and I'm still preparing a place for you that's going to wow you. It's going to blow you away. It's going to be amazing. And it's not just because it's streets of gold and hues of colors that your eye has never seen before. And by the way, when we get to heaven, we're going to know why our eyes were created, and we're going to know what our ears were created for. The sounds and the sights are going to be beyond any type of comprehension. In fact, Paul said it would be illegal for me to even try to speak to you about such things. When we get there and we're with him, that's what makes heaven heaven, is the presence of Jesus. He says, I've gone to do all of this for you. And if I have gone to do all of this for you, and if I have gone and prepared such a place for you, third and finally, like you moms, you've been so faithful to do all that transportation, remember, through the years, transporting your kids from one place to the next, school. If there's anything like our household, somebody was always late for school. Somebody always missed the bus. Somebody always needed a ride to school. Remember, mom and dad, somebody always needed a ride to school. Somebody always forgot a lunch. Somebody always needed something for their practice. Then after the practice, get picked up from their practice. Then to their friends' houses. You're a taxi for all those years. I'm in the thick of it right now with my kids. You're a taxi. You're a tech. You transport. Jesus says this, listen, I got the emotional thing handled. I've got the preparation thing handled, but not just transportation. Hey, let's do this. Our translation, I got that handled too. This is the rapture. I'm going to come again, and I'm going to receive you unto myself so that where I am, we could be together forever without any interruption. I'm not going to send for you. I'm going to come for you, Jesus says. How about that? Listen, it's one thing to be invited to somebody's house, and then you're just a heavy load the whole time you're there. You're just weeping and crying and venting and sobbing, and you're exhausting them, right? And they got the emotional support and strength and stamina for you. It's one thing to come in someone's house and have them have that and all the preparation prepared for you. But it's a whole nother thing when they say this, on top of all of that, I'm going to come again and actually pick you up to bring you to my house. All you moms were so faithful in transporting for so many of years. Maybe you're doing it with your grandbabies, transporting, like a taxi driver, transporting. And Jesus says to you and I this morning, this is why your heart can take ease. This is why you can settle. This is your hope. This is what's going to keep you ticking. This is what's going to keep you going. I know it's painful. I know there's social distancing going on. I know there's uncertainty going on. I know that this is probably the craziest, most unlikely way that you've ever spent Mother's Day or would want to spend Mother's Day. I know there's an array of emotions. I know there's pain attached to this day. I know for some of you ladies, this is the worst day of the year. I know all that's going on, but it's not presumptuous. It's gentleness, and he stoops to us, and he says this, listen, on top of the emotional thing and the preparation thing, I'm doing the transportation thing. I'm doing a translation thing. I'm going to come again, and I'm going to receive you personally unto myself, and I'm going to usher you in to eternity's shores. The Lord himself, Paul said, the Lord himself will descend into the air, to the clouds, and he, along with the voice of the archangel, along with the trump of God, three sounds, are going to call, beckon, God's people to meet him in the air. It's going to be like one big school bus. It's going to be like one big Uber driver with one big old vehicle that takes us right into those streets of gold and brings us into his presence forevermore. And you know something? I even believe this. This is my conviction based on experience. I even believe that if you go ahead of the rapture to be to where he's prepared, if you take your last breath that precedes your dying here, that precedes the rapture that is eventual, the coming of Jesus to receive his people in glory, if that happens, I still believe that he will meet you wherever you are, in that hospice room, in that bedroom, on the side of a road, wherever your death takes place. I believe that Jesus, those who trust in him, I believe that Jesus himself, he don't send an angel. Mm-mm. Bridegrooms don't send other people for their bride. No. I believe he comes. And I believe that that is the first face that you will see. Because I might be speaking to somebody right now who's about to die. This is worse than it's a bad Mother's Day. This is worse than than any other picture I've painted so far. You might have a respirator. You can't even amen me right now. You might have a tube down your throat. I don't know who, I got such a vast audience right now, I don't know who I'm speaking to. So even if you're about to die, let your heart take ease. Listen to me, please, because I got this unction and I'm speaking to somebody who's close to death. If that's you right now, listen, I believe this personally. I believe the minute you take that last breath here, there's no death for you. It's just passing from this scene into eternity. The abundant life has already begun. I believe, man, that there he will be, the resurrection, the life himself, right there, that good shepherd who leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. I believe he will be right there to greet you when you open your eyes on the other side, and he will bring you, not Peter at the pearly gates. Peter don't want to see you. Jesus. I'm so thankful he doesn't just send the archangel or have the trump of God sound and he's sitting there like, you know, because important people would do that. Here, you know, oh, so-and-so's here to see you, sir. Okay, send them back. Or, you know, can you go and greet them and bring them back here? And there they are behind their desk, you know, or on their throne, you know. It's like you've been ushered into majesty. He's the humble king. He's the foot washer. He's not sending anybody for you. He's been waiting to see you longer than you've been waiting to see him. The death of the saints of God, the people of God, is precious in the sight of the Lord. He gets to be with you. He can't wait to be with you. He wants to meet you emotionally today. He wants to encourage you. He covered all the preparation. And he wants to let you know the translation, has been handled too. I heard a story about a lady who was dying with cancer. I'll close with this. She was dying with cancer, and she was a writer, and she was in the hospital suffering. And she was amazed that she was struggling so much with the idea of death because she knows the Lord. She knew the Lord, and she spoke about the Lord and wrote about the Lord for so long. And there she was in the hospital, and she had heard, you know, I don't know how all the hospitals do it, but we know when a baby's born, they do the like a ringing of a bell or some type of chimes or something to. I didn't even know they did this till a couple of years ago when I was visiting somebody. They sound off some type of sound to celebrate the birth of a baby. I remember walking out of Unity Hospital a couple years back. I think, Stevie, it was for your daughter. And as I was walking out, they started doing that. And I asked the nurse, "What's the noise for?" She said, "Oh, every time a baby's born, we do this." So this woman that I'm speaking about, she was hearing the noise, and she knew what it meant, unlike me. And the Holy Spirit gave her understanding of exactly what her scenario was, as it is anybody else who's waiting to be ushered into the presence of God. The Lord spoke to her and said this: just like a baby is in the dark womb of the mother, you're in this like place right now where all you know is what you know. And all you know is what the baby knows when the baby's in the womb. Dependency and amniotic fluid and dependency on the mother and amniotic fluid and just swimming around. And you're just kind of in this place of darkness where you're comfortable and it's cozy and it's warm. And honestly, you never leave. And some of you need to leave. That's the problem. But you'd never leave if the water didn't break and labor didn't begin to take place. You'd stay there forever. It's the perfect place. But what you don't realize is that in order to enter into what life is really, you got to kind of pass through alone. No one's going to be there with you. You got to pass through this place of uncomfortableness and difficulty for some. And you got to make your way out of and into another realm. And the Lord began to minister to her that just like for those babies, when they come forth, they're going to see people in white, doctors, nurses, bright lights, hear things, see things, feel things that they've never experienced. And I don't know what they do now. My youngest is six, but even with Harper, my baby, they used to take him and they'd take the baby right away and immediately put it right on the mother's chest. And it's so precious. You dads have seen it. When the baby opens its little eyes and can just barely see and looks at the mother's face. And my wife, Shauna, she would always weep in this most beautiful cry when she would look our baby in the face for that first time. She'd always weep and she'd always just, babe, there would be this babe, this, our baby. The baby finally is putting a face with its carrier. A face with the womb that she had been carried in, or he had been carried in all of their existence. And there's just this amazing moment, and life just begins at that point. A life that could never be explained to a child. Imagine trying to go into the womb if it were possible, or speaking through a sonogram and letting them know, hey, kid, you got to come out. You got to come out. There's people waiting for you. You got a dad, and he prepared a place for you. You got a nursery, little guy. Josiah, could you imagine being able to tell your little son that's coming out soon? He prepared a place for you, little man. Me and your mom, we want to bring you home. We got a carrier for you, and you got a brother. You got cousins, crazy cousins. You got like 10 of them. They're nuts, and you're going to have a loud Italian family, and they're going to touch you and kiss you and pinch you. They're going to buy you stuff. Wait till you try your Nana's sauce and meatballs. Kid, you got no clue. You've been getting it right now through a lifeline. Your umbilical cord, but that thing's going to be snipped. And then you're going to enter into life. You got lungs. You got a capacity to breathe on your own. You don't know about it yet. You got to pass through this place of uncomfortable, just passing through this discomfort because the lungs got to have the fluid pressed out. But man, you're gonna start to cry and your lungs are going to clear and your mom's going to hold you and they're gonna get excited about how much you weigh, kid. They're gonna weigh on the scale, and if you're a Tommaso baby, you're probably like 9 pounds something. And they're gonna write it down, and they're gonna keep your little bracelet they're gonna put on your ankle, and they're gonna look at the clock. There's a thing called time here. You're gonna find out, and they're gonna write down the time. And for all of your life, they're gonna say, okay, his birthday was at 3:32, on June 18, 2020, and they're gonna celebrate you every year. They're gonna celebrate you. And there's a call on your life. Like, you're not going to just have the identity of Henry and Angela Tommaso's kid. You're going to become a pastor one day, little David, and you're going to tell people. You're going to tell people about the God of Henry and the God of Angela. He's going to become your God and your children's God. Last night, my son was impersonating me in my family room. He takes my Bible and he opens it up and he reads John 14, 1 through 3. And he literally starts doing what I'm doing with my hands and my motions. And he's walking in the room. He says, Dad, you say God funny when you preach. You say God, I don't even realize that I do, but he's making fun of how I speak. And we're laughing. And I had this vision. I used to do this in my parents' family room. And they watched and they laughed. My Aunt Babe used to say, this is prophetic. You're going to be, this is who you're going to be. And I felt like the Spirit of the Lord said to me, your son's going to be your successor. This is a prophetic vision. Josiah, could you imagine saying to your new baby, little David, thus saith the Lord, you got a calling, kid. It's time to come out. People are waiting for you. You weren't designed to stay in your mother's womb. Let's go. It's a season. Whoever you are this morning, you're getting ready to pass from this life into eternity. You're going to listen to this message. You're going to hear it. Listen to me, please, in your hospital room, in your bed, wherever you are. I want to tell you something. Listen, your life here, like a vapor. Poof. Here today, gone tomorrow. If 1,000 years is as a day with Jesus, what's 70 years? A few seconds. Come on out. It's time to come home. Let not your heart be troubled. Moms, hope to be moms. Once were moms, you're always a mom. Dads, hope to be dads. Always dads. Young people, white people, black people, troubled people, American people, the whole world, receive this word of the Lord this morning. This is the word of the Lord. Let not your hearts be troubled. Take ease. Please stop letting your hearts be troubled. You've believed in God. Continue to believe in me. We're going to sing to him in just a second. Let's get in our positions. Let's get ready to sing. He deserves to be exalted. You believed in God. Continue to believe in me. That's all I'm asking you to do. This isn't some like, I'm going to speak it to existence. I'm going to deny that. Pains around me. No. That's the truth. It's an agitating world, but you don't got to have an agitating life in Jesus. The cure for a troubled heart is trust in Jesus. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you that. And I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I've gone to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself. Listen, please. Listen, and you know the way that I go. Jesus said, Thomas said, how can we know where you go? We don't know where you're going. Tell us. And he said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man has ever come to the Father. No man is coming to the Father. No man ever will come to the Father except it be through me. So come. Come, God, I pray right now that your peace, like Daniel and the team sang moments ago, that your peace and your mercy would flood the hearts of the listeners. Flood their hearts, God, with your peace and your mercy, your presence, God. Wash over them with your presence. Wash over them with your goodness. You are the way maker. You are the life giver. You are the truth. I pray, God, that you'd minister to every heart on this Mother's Day. Lord, wherever they find themselves, God, whoever it is, males and females, God, whatever the situation is, Lord, represented in the heart of the hearer, you know. I'm so thankful that you spoke a specific word, God, to each heart. Not just hearts, but each heart. Strengthen your people, and Jesus, we pray by your Spirit that you draw all men unto yourself. May the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and be gracious to you. God bless you. Have a great day.